everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Flocking Around podcast. I'm Joe McDonald, a teacher at Illinois State University, and with us are our hosts and volleyball senior players, Cassie Jordan and Nora Yanka. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Glad to kick off another season here. Well, our fans would like to get to know you, so we'll play a game called Let the Good Times Roll. Players are going to take turns asking each other questions for four rounds, and each round has slightly more thoughtful questions than the last one. The way we'll start is whoever's hometown is the furthest away goes first. So I'm going to have you tell us where you're from and how you came to ISU. So Cassie, how about you?
I'm from Painesville, Ohio, and I came to ISU just from recruiting. The coaching staff was out at a tournament in Ohio and they reached out to me. So that's how I found out about them. And then I just came to camp here and really enjoyed it.
Well, we're glad you came here. Did you consider going to any other schools other than Illinois State?
I looked at Valparaiso and then Loyola, Maryland.
All right, Nora, how about you? Where are you from and how did you end up deciding to come to ISU?
Yeah, so I'm from Innsbruck, Austria, about 10 hours with the plane away from here. And I came to ISU because I found this agency back in Europe that helps European players to play college volleyball. And I sent my recruiting videos in and my measurements, a video of me talking and my test results from various tests I had to take and grades and every, you know, the whole spiel, just everything about me basically. And then also started talking to ISU and they really stood out to me in the recruiting process. And once they offered, it was a no-brainer.
Were you able to take a campus visit as part of that? Or were you attending other schools? What was that like?
Yeah, so it was right when COVID hit. So there was absolutely no way for me to leave the country or even travel to the United States as all the borders were closed. But I did get to see the campus virtually, I guess, because they made it a point to call me on FaceTime and show me Repert Arena and show me the campus and show me the dining hall. So I technically saw it, but not physically.
Did anything in particular stand out about the university itself, or was it more just the relationship and that you felt with the coaches?
I think it was both. I think I was very happy about how much effort they made to provide me with the best information that they could to help me make the right decision. But then what just also stood out to me was the arena. It was so big. Once I saw the arena, I just imagined myself playing there and what the atmosphere would be like for game days. And then I was sold.
Well, Nora, you are definitely the furthest away in terms of your hometown compared between the two of you. So you get to go first. You actually get to choose in round one here. We'll have a list of questions. Both of you can see it on my screen, even though the audience can't see anything. And we'll do round one. We've got some questions. And you get to choose whether you're going to ask Cassie the first question or whether you want her to ask you the first question.
I'll ask her, what's your favorite color and what does it say about you?
My favorite color is sage green. And I think it just says about me, it's not a super loud in your face color, which I'm also not that way. It's more muted and relaxing. So I feel like it just reflects that I'm a more casual, chill person.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
My question for you is, do you like school and why or why not?
I really like school. I've always had a great experience with whatever school I went to, high school, middle school, college now. I think I just thrive in a school environment and I like structure. I like going to class and getting stuff done. So I really like school. What was your least favorite subject in class?
I hated calculus. I just really don't enjoy math at all. I like science classes because it's math applied to something, but I don't enjoy straight up math classes. So yeah, I hated taking calculus in high school and I am lucky to not have to take many math classes in college.
Fair.
My question is, what's one of your favorite foods?
That's a good question. I think one of my favorite foods would just have to be pizza. I like pizza, all kinds of pizza. Pepperoni pizza is my favorite, so probably that. What is your favorite holiday?
Yeah, it always goes between Thanksgiving and Christmas just because I was born right around Thanksgiving, so it's kind of like a double celebration for me. And I just like getting the whole family together, and I love cooking, so making food is always good, and just being able to see a bunch of people that you don't really get to see throughout the year. So I'm gonna go with Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's sweet.
What makes you smile?
Honestly, like everything, I feel like I think that if like I smile when I'm outside and I see the sun, or if something funny happens, like in the apartment, for example, because Cassie and I are roommates and there's always something going on. There's always someone's always in a goofy mood. So I feel like that always makes me smile, or seeing my teammates, talking to my parents. Yeah, I think I smile a lot. So,
Yes.
what are you not very good at?
I don't know why, but the first thing that came to mind was table tennis.
Oh.
It's so obscure. I feel like honestly, sports that involve like a paddle or a different piece of equipment, because with volleyball, you're so used to training like your hand hitting the ball. So if like there's anything going on that is like a paddle that's supposed to be hitting the ball instead, it's just hard to get my brain to not try and get my hand to be hitting
Yeah,
the
I
ball.
feel that.
Who influenced you to get into your sport or major?
I think my parents did. They're both in business, and so I saw it growing up, so I always kind of wanted to be like them, and they are really happy with what they do. And so my mom always told me, or both my parents always told me, to never think about what job makes the most money or pays the best. Just do what makes you happy and you'll automatically be in a good spot. So I chose business because I just really like math and economics and stuff like that. So yeah.
Cassie, how about you? What's your major? What are you studying?
I'm actually going into grad school this year. I was a exercise science major for undergrad, and then I'm getting my master's in exercise physiology.
Well, that ends round one. Here we go into round two. And Nora, you can start us off again.
Cassie, what are you passionate about in life?
I feel like I'm just passionate about humans, if that makes sense. Like, I just feel like I have a lot of empathy and like feelings for other people, if that makes sense. I feel like all humans should get equal chances in life and opportunities, and there shouldn't really be discrimination against people. And I feel like just in my daily life, when I see certain situations like that, I'm always passionate about everyone should be able to be treated the same, regardless of who they are or what they look like.
Cassie, I'm curious about that. How do you feel like that part of you has factored into your leadership role on the team or your role as a teammate?
I just feel like I'm trying to treat everyone the same, like in terms of freshman to senior class wise. Obviously, like on some teams it could be a lot of like
Seniority.
seniority and like, oh, seniors do this because they've been here, and like freshmen you have all the dirty work. But I just feel like trying to treat everyone the same way, and no one gets special treatment or no one gets treated badly just because of what position they are, what class they are, if they're playing or not. I'm always trying to factor in that in my decision making and making sure that I'm not kind of favoring anyone over anyone else. How would you describe yourself as a child?
I think I was extremely messy as a child. I'd lose my stuff all the time. And I was also just very lighthearted and would always a lot of energy and would just not ever stop talking. So I was a very happy, outgoing child, I would say.
It surprises me that you were messy because you're so organized
I
now.
know I was messy until my freshman year of high school, and then I never lost anything again in my life. And I don't know what happened, but it's a switch like flipped in my head, and I just became like the most organized, clean, like person that you could find. It's weird. Okay, Cassie, if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I would say sushi. if it like sometimes it upsets my stomach, so if I knew it wouldn't upset my stomach ever, I would definitely pick sushi, but I just like the variety of it, and I do like seafood a lot, so sushi would be good. Nora, what are you most excited about now?
Like right now.
Yeah, just like at this stage of your life.
Oh, I think I'm most excited to about how comfortable I am in my environment. I think transitioning from Europe, coming to college in the States while COVID was a big thing, wasn't necessarily the easiest thing. And I feel like I've been feeling comfortable for more than just this year, but I think this is truly like my home here. And that's what I'm most excited about, is how comfortable I am and how glad I am to be here, and just, yeah, being able to share that with people.
Nora, that makes me wonder, COVID happened. Where did you stay? How did you get through as an international student?
Right. So Cassie and I went into college in 2020. So the first initial COVID hit, we were still in high school. So I wasn't in the States yet. What I was struggling with for a long time was getting my visa approved, because all the embassies were closed. So I came late my freshman summer because I couldn't get my visa. And then once I got my visa, I had to wait for a week because your passport gets sent in the mail. And so you have to wait for your passport. And then I got my passport, and then I booked my flight and traveled to the States, and then had to quarantine for an extra 2 weeks because I was traveling internationally. So it was a long process. But throughout the years, I've stayed a lot with friends. When we went, I've always been able to go home for breaks. But there was definitely times I had to come back sooner because I had to quarantine. So either they put me in an apartment on campus by myself so I could quarantine, or I was quarantining at a friend's house.
It's good to have friends when you're overseas, for sure.
Yep. Very important. Yeah. I think my next question for Cassie will be, what was the happiest moment of your life?
This feels kind of like it makes too much sense for this podcast, but I would honestly say winning the conference tournament and going to the NCAA tournament my sophomore year. Just because, like, I was playing on the court with all of my best friends and we were all playing for each other, and you could just tell we were playing for something that was bigger than ourselves. And it was an experience that has been sticking with me throughout the rest of my college career. And I've always been trying to get back to finding that feeling with every team I've been on. So I just feel like the moment when we got that final kill and we knew we had won, and just everyone storming the court and the fans going crazy, was like goosebumps. And I really want to relive it this year. So hopefully we can get back there.
Agreed.
Maybe we can relive that a little bit more right now. Can you remind us, who were you playing against and how did it all come together?
So we were playing against Loyola Chicago when they were still in the MVC, and we were actually playing in Redbirds, which was really special. It was a 5-set fight, and we had reverse swept them. So they took the first 2 sets and we were backs against the wall. And we kind of knew going into the 3rd set, like, it's now or never. We need to step it up and figure it out. And as a team, we found a way to work together and adjust and make it happen. So it was really exciting. And a bunch of the fans afterwards were like, yeah, you really had us scared there. And we were like, yeah, we live for the drama. We were just trying to be dramatic. But yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was truly a very, like, important moment, I think, for all of us in our careers.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember Nora, we were celebrating. I picked Nora up and she like jumped in my arms and I spun her around. It was crazy.
Yeah. It was just such a good memory, I think, because we had so much going on that season, and we lost the first 2 sets and we should have won the 2nd one, and it was so close. And then in the 3rd one, like, a switch like flipped in our heads and we beat them. I don't even know what the score was, 25-18.
It was a blowout in the 3rd set.
Yeah. And then in the 4th set, it was a little
closer.
Close. Yeah. And then in the 5th set, we were already down like 8-3 or something. It was, it wasn't looking too good. Mm-hmm. But.
And the last cut, I think it was literally 15-13.
Like, but yeah.
If they had scored a point, we would have been going into overtime points wise. So we knew we needed to get the job done right there and just stop it when we could.
Yeah.
If 3 wishes were granted to you, what is one thing you would wish for?
I wish for a happy and a healthy life for me and all my loved ones and friends, and just, I want everybody to be happy. Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you, how would your parents describe you?
Well, my dad told me this morning he's proud of how mature I'm becoming. So maybe he would say mature. I feel like they would describe me as intelligent and hardworking, driven, and I think also caring and compassionate.
I agree with what they say.
If you could take any class in college, what would you choose?
Okay. I really like learning about business law. I took that class last year in the fall, and I had a great time finding out about all the different types of companies and what rights they have, if they're an LLC, if it's a sole proprietor. I just really enjoyed learning about that because I always got confused about that when I was younger because my mom's a sole proprietor and my dad wasn't, and I was always confused. But now that I figured it out, I really like learning about it.
Well done. We'll move into round three.
Ooh, what would be the perfect birthday gift for you?
Honestly, I feel like a pair of shoes. I don't have a lot of shoes right now just because, like, with volleyball, we're supplied, like, our tennis shoes and court shoes. So I've always kind of, like, pushed those off on buying just because we get some anyway. But now that I'm obviously about to hang up the shoes, I probably could use some more swag on my feet.
Maybe I'll get you some for your birthday.
Okay. Yeah, you have good taste, so I would love that.
Perfect.
What would you do if you had enough money for the rest of your life and didn't have to work?
Oh, I would just, like, travel the world. I would move to New York City. I would just live my best life there. I definitely would keep going to college and I'd get my degree because why not? I mean, I have enough money anyway, so I can do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then I would definitely just do the things I really like to do. I would travel and see my family and do gardening and, like, just weird stuff, honestly. But I would have a blast, so... What is your hidden talent?
I can make a really good cricket noise.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to try and do it because it probably won't come through the Zoom very well. And it would probably, like, break people's eardrums. But it's just, like, yeah, it's, like, the same idea as when you roll your tongue. But for some reason, I can get it really high-pitched. And then it sounds like a cricket.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't do it often.
I'm glad you don't.
If you had to write a book tomorrow, what would you write about?
I would write about all the different lessons I've learned in my life so far, because I think, like, as an athlete, as a woman in sports, as an international student, I've got a lot that I've went through just by default, kind of being away from family and all that stuff. I think I'd write most about that and how the things I wish somebody would have told me when I went through those things, or just a change of perspective that I didn't know I needed.
I would read that.
Thank you. Maybe I'll write one.
You should.
What is one of the best compliments you have ever gotten, Cassie?
I'm trying to remember how they worded it.
Who was the compliment from?
Charlie.
Aww. That's Cassie's boyfriend.
Yeah. I think he pretty much said, like, I'm stubborn, but in a way that I fight for what I want and I don't give up when I know that I want something or that something isn't right. I'm kind of, like, not giving up. I'm fighting for what I think is right.
That is a great habit, or a great compliment he gave you.
Yeah, I was happy. Nora, can you tell us something about yourself that most people don't know?
I mean, my favorite color is brown. I feel like a lot of people don't know that because brown, like, people don't like the color, but I love the color brown. So that's something a lot of people don't know about me.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know that.
You didn't?
I knew you liked neutral tones, but I didn't know that your favorite out of them was brown.
Oh, yeah, it's brown. I love brown.
For our final round, we'll ask two questions from each one, since these are the most thoughtful ones of all.
What is your ultimate goal, Cassie?
I mean, this is kind of, like, cliche, but I think just to be happy. I know, like, a lot of people have been saying, like, the stereotype in America is, like, or like it's like you work yourself to death. Like in other countries, it's like you work to play, but that's not kind of how it is in America, or at least it's like how the stereotype is. So I think just doing something that I'm passionate about and I enjoy, and having a family that makes me happy, and just being at a place in life where I'm enjoying it and I'm happy and satisfied and I feel comfortable doing what I'm doing is my goal.
I think that should be everyone's goal.
Mm-hmm. What is one of your biggest failures and what did you learn from that experience?
I was struggling in high school with some mental health stuff and some eating problems. And I think that was just a very low point of my life. And I think I did a lot of things that made me feel like I am a failure. But I think what I just learned from that experience is that life's too short to worry about things like food and in that type of way, obviously, and just how important a good support system is. I would have not been right here right now without all the people that saw me struggling and reached out and helped me through it. So I think just not shutting friends out is probably my takeaway from that one.
Nora, follow-up question for you then, similar to what I asked Cassie before, those lessons that you learned, have you been able to use those and apply those as a teammate for people, especially in the mental health arena, who might be struggling to identify that or help people?
Yeah, I think that with mental health stuff, there's a lot of it is personal, and you never truly know how somebody is feeling. So I like to just always give people the option to talk to me and make it known I'm there for them and will reach out. And even if it's just a small thing, like I Venmo them $5 for coffee if I don't have time to grab coffee with them, or just, you know, telling them they look pretty today, or, you know, stuff like that. I think that's my biggest, I think the ultimate thing I took away from it was you never know what somebody else is going through. So always be kind. I want to make sure that I'm not adding to a problem in their life. What do people misunderstand about you most?
This is kind of a funny one in a way, but sometimes I ask stupid questions, but a lot of times, like, I'm doing it because I'm like, okay, this is a question that someone else might have that they might be scared to ask. And I kind of take the blow of like, okay, that was a really dumb question. Like, why would you ask that? But I'm always trying to make sure that everyone around me is understanding what's going on and like understanding what we're doing and what was just explained. And so sometimes I just take the fall of asking the dumb questions to make sure everyone else around me is getting it. And I think sometimes people are just like, wow, Cassie, that was dumb, but I'm actually trying to do it to help those around me.
It's very kind of you.
Thanks. It's happened occasionally where people tell me, they're like, you're really smart, but you ask dumb questions. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes I do it because I actually don't know. And it is dumb, but sometimes I'm just trying to make sure everyone's on the same page. And that's like the easiest way I feel like going about it.
I agree.
Nora, why are women's sports important?
I think they're important because it just is completely different, in my opinion, from men's sports. And I think that we're just going through different stuff. And I think that it's important for young girls to watch women's sports because that gives them something to look up to.
Yeah.
And I think it's just overall important for everybody.
Yeah, I think going off of that, like, a lot of career fields are still like men dominated, and it's just assumed that men are always going to be the big leaders. And I think women's sports are really good about developing women into leaders and teaching them leadership qualities and teamwork qualities that just can help them in the career world. So I think it's helping to kind of balance out the gender stereotypes in the career world.
Definitely. Yeah, that was a good way to put it.
Thank you.
I think following up on that, speaking as somebody who used to do some hiring in the corporate world, I would agree with that completely. A lot of times when someone comes in and they had been involved in collegiate sports, then you know that they've learned so much about being a good teammate, about learning how to fail and to recover from that, how to be flexible, how to be supportive, I get along with different types of personalities, and it's all wrapped up into one experience like that. And the leadership you talked about there made me more likely to think very highly of that person and how they're able to manage their time as well.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you both won. Let the good times roll.
Yay.
Pat on the back, a round of applause. Maybe we'll insert a cheering crowd at background noise here.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for letting us know all about you. And now the topics that we have for today, we're at the beginning of a new season. There are a couple phases to preseason, aren't there? Is there a summer season that's different from when you get to the official team practice part of the year?
Yeah, so we start in early middle June. We start with captain-led open gyms, and then we also hit the weight room a lot during the summer. That's definitely the main focus of the summer, is to get us physically in shape. With our strength coach, Ryan Swenson, we would lift every day. We lift every day, and then we also condition twice a week on top of that. And then we have open gyms, which is, like I said, captain-led. So that's what our summer is like. And yeah.
So tell me a little more about the captain-led. What types of things would you have the team do in those?
Yeah, so we mainly focused on getting everybody to be on the same page. Obviously, we had a lot of new players come from high school, and then we had girls transfer in from different colleges, and then we had grad transfers transfer in. So it was our focus to make sure that people know the type of lingo we use in a gym and what the expectations are, just so that once Allie gets into the gym, our head coach, she doesn't have to worry about that type of stuff, and she can focus on actually volleyball, fine-tuning connections and work like that, instead of having to manage people necessarily.
Is there any guidance provided? I realize that the coaches themselves are not involved in the summer.
Correct.
But prior to the summer, do they provide any guidance as to maybe the types of drills that you would run or the types of scrimmages that would be run during that time? Or is it entirely up to you?
You basically can't talk with your coaches about it. They're not allowed to. I mean, we've been playing volleyball for so long that, and we know what college volleyball should look like. So if we'd have a bad passing day, we'd focus on passing more the next couple of practices. Or, you know, Cassie's a middle blocker, I'm a setter. So she says, oh, maybe we need to work on blocking, it's been sloppy. And then I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. How about you run the blocking? Because me as a setter, that's not my focus. So we kind of split up responsibility in that sense.
Yeah. So a lot of the times we would start out with like our warmups. The coaches have a warmup that they like to have us do every day. So we would do that warmup every day in open gym just to get all the players acclimated to it and understanding it. And then we would typically do one or two drills after that, depending, again, like what Nora said, on what we wanted to be working on. Sometimes it could be ball control or hitting lines for connection work, or eye sequencing for the blockers. And then we would break up into teams, and we made different lineups each week for teams so that we weren't always playing like next to the same person. We got experience playing next to everyone else in the gym, but then we would just play 6-on-6 and compete a little bit at the end. Yeah.
Sounds like a fun time. Are you in CEFQ Arena for this, or the North Gym somewhere on the campus, or where are these taking place?
So we're in North Gym for the summer practices.
I think we coached a lot of we did a lot of culture stuff this summer, because that's what we knew was gonna make this team come together, because we obviously have very good individual players on the team. I think our, you know, with 10 newcomers, you just have to make sure you're a team and you come together as one. So I think that was our main goal for the summer, and I'd say we'd accomplished that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking as someone who just watched you play in your exhibition games over the last weekend, I would say you've definitely made some strides in building that culture, building that cohesiveness. There were some really long defensive rallies that were a lot of fun to watch as a fan, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I think the defense is definitely has worked for us the last weeks. So that's definitely a strong suit that we have.
After the summer's over, you transition into official team practices then. How have those been going?
They've been good. It's always good after running practices for the whole summer. It's just so good to have coaches back in the gym and get feedback from them, because obviously you need coaches, and we're just really excited that things are finally starting back up. And obviously, you know, as seniors, your body has been going through some stuff, but with our athletic trainer and with the way Ryan prepared us for the summer, it's been going good so far.
Speaking a little more about coaches, could you tell us a little bit more about the roles that each one of them tends to play, either in practices, maybe in particular, or could comment on a game, I suppose. How about, we have a new coach on board this year, Courtney Wagner. What role is Courtney playing so far?
So Courtney played at the collegiate level as well, and she was a middle when she played. So she's kind of stepped in and has taken over a lot of the blocking schemes and coaching there. And then she's also working with middles on their offense. So a lot of times, like when we break into positions, Courtney's always with the middles telling us what's up. And then when we play 6-on-6, you can always count on her coaching you about the blocking and your timing and that kind of stuff with offense for the middles.
Coach Matt DePaul will be in his second year with the Redbirds along with Coach Matters. How about Matt? What's his role?
Yeah, so Matt is very much with the setters. He was a setter himself at a collegiate level, so he's obviously got great like technical skills that he's able to teach us, but he's also very much running defensively, how we're setting things up behind the block. And he's very much everything for every, like, you'll ask Matt a question, he's going to know the answer, but he's mainly focusing on setters and then setter and hitter connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he calls like offensive plays on the bench a lot. He tells our servers where they should be serving as well during games.
And then head coach, Allie Matters. How does Allie run the ship?
Yeah, I think Allie's like overall, like she kind of flows between courts. Sometimes we break up into passers and attackers or defense and blockers. And a lot of times when we do that, she'll be going with the passers because she was a libero herself when she played. But she still is like floating between the courts and just overseeing all of practice, making sure everything's going smoothly. And she's very knowledgeable. She knows a lot about the sport. So it's like kind of similar to Matt, where if you ask her a question, she's going to know the answer regardless of what position or what type of question it is. And she just gives a lot of feedback to everyone based on what they're doing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. She's definitely knows a lot about passing. So she's very much with the liberos that we have. But like I said, she's our head coach. So she's like involved with everything and everything. So, yeah.
Another recent activity that the team did was to take a trip up to Lake Geneva recently, the other weekend. What all went on during that trip?
So they rented out an Airbnb for us. As a team, we were all staying in the same house, and it was just a lot of team bonding stuff. We did our DISC assessment, which was a little personality test. We all got on a Zoom call with the man who runs it, and he kind of walked us through what our results meant. And then the rest of the trip was just hanging out as a team. We did some karaoke. We went on a boat tour and spent a lot of time together. And I think it was really important for us because, like we mentioned earlier, we have a lot of newcomers on the team. So it was important this year to get as much team bonding in as we could before season took off so that we were all comfortable with each other and we knew a lot about each other so that we could mesh more on the court.
So I gotta ask, what was the singing like? Tell us about the karaoke.
Yeah, we would just play some songs that we all knew and were funny, and we're just singing along to them and dancing around. And at one point, Hannah and Ada were singing a song from Hamilton outside, and one of the neighbors wasn't very happy with this. And it was right around the time that quiet hours were about to start. So she came over and yelled at the coaches to tell them to be quiet.
Yeah.
But it was really entertaining, and it was just fun to see everyone be so comfortable around each other to be willing to, you know, sing kind of crazy and just act goofy with each other.
You could definitely see personalities coming through.
Yeah.
Would you say there was anybody who seemed like they enjoyed singing the most, whether or not they were a good singer?
I think Hannah and Ada.
I was going to say Hannah and Ada were definitely having a good time outside singing the songs. Yeah.
When we were talking prior to the episode, prior to the season, really, you had mentioned a little bit of what is behind the curtain, maybe we would say, as far as just being a Redbird volleyball player day to day. Specifically, there was a binder that players have. Can you tell the fans about what that's like?
I think what a lot of people don't realize is that being on a collegiate team is more than just showing up for practices and then competing in games. To be successful, there's more than just practicing your skill on the court, but there's a lot going into how do you treat each other? What is the communication looking like between coach and player and player to player? What is the standards and expectations that we have for each other to make sure that a season runs smoothly and that we all like feel comfortable in our environment? So what we always do is we get a binder at the beginning of the season, and it kind of outlines our culture of Redbird volleyball. And I really like that we always do it because it kind of just reminds you how to be a good teammate. Obviously, there's sections for rules that we, for example, have, or when it comes to practice, do we have to wear the same shirt, or how long before, like what time should we show up for practice? What is it looking like when we're traveling? What can we do? What can we not do? What's going on with athletic training? Do we tell how should we communicate with Courtney, our athletic trainer? What happens if you're not doing well in a class? Who do you tell? Stuff like that. And it's just, I think it's really nice for all the newcomers, obviously, to have almost like a guidebook, I want to say, that guides them through the year. But it's also always nice to have one for us, because you can have a question, look at the binder, you're going to know the answer. So that's always nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it serves as a really good backbone. And then based on that, it's like any little details we can build off of what we find in the binder.
How thick is this binder? It sounds very helpful.
It's just like a typical 1-inch thick, I think.
Yeah, we also, when we do our scouting reports for opponents, that's also where all of our notes go. And so we all just kind of have like that place. And something we did this year that I think all of us truly loved was the back side of our binder. There was an empty like sheet in there. So what we did was we all did our own vision boards. So we put things on there that made us happy and that we look forward to, and people in our lives that we look up to, or pets or stuff like that. So we all designed our own vision boards and then presented it to the team. And I think that also just brought us closer again. And it'll be nice to, you know, going through a rough practice, you flip over the binder, you see all your favorite things. So that'll be nice.
Another segment is called What Was That? It's things that happened on the court that as a casual fan, you may not have understood exactly what just happened there. There was a moment against SIUE over the weekend where Emily Weber went up to challenge at the net, made contact with the ball, got it successfully over the net, and all of a sudden the referee blows the whistle and gives the point to the Cougars, and he put his hands up in the air and then maybe made a little bit of a forward push gesture or something like that. At least that's how it looked to me from the stands. I might have that right or wrong, but what was going on with that play? What's the rule involved there?
Yeah, so pretty much when you have a player who's in the back row rotations of the court, they can't be like contesting anything at the net. in terms of like attacking or blocking. So Emily was in the back row at that point, and she had ran up to set because we were in serve receive. So we passed the ball, and the ball ended up being an overpass. So she put her hand up to try and kind of slow down the attacker hitting the overpass back over. And even though she didn't jump, her hand was over the plane of the, or she, her hand was like over the tape. So when the ball hit her hand and went back over the net, it was technically a block. And as a back row player, you can't be blocking balls at the net. So that's why the ref called it.
Well, let's recap the weekend that just passed, your first action in front of fans at CEFQ. I should ask that first. What was it like being in front of the fans for the first time?
I loved it. I think it never gets old. I mean, we've been here for, this will be our fourth season, but it'll still, every year I'm like amazed by how many people come out to our games and what the atmosphere is like. So that was, I was very happy with the outcome of the weekend in terms of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that it's always electric. Like I remember in my freshman intro video, I said one of the things I was most excited for playing in Redbird, which is now CEFQ Arena, is just how electric the energy is. And I really enjoyed just the amount of support we get and the fan base that we receive. It's good. It shows that the sport of volleyball is growing. So that's always exciting to see.
Well, there were two matches that took place. The red-white scrimmage, we can talk about that first. How about any highlights that stood out to you from that?
I think overall the highlights were our serving game was really good. We figured out a lot of stuff about what we need to work on, which was the whole point of the red-white scrimmage, and we saw what we need to work on, so therefore mission accomplished.
Then we went in and competed against the Cougars from SIUE. It was a 5-set match, and ultimately the Cougars prevailed in that one, but it certainly was exciting for us as fans to be watching that in action. How about from that? What went well and what will get better?
I think what really worked for us were obviously our middle offense. I think our middles did a great job yesterday. Whenever we would be in system, they would really put a lot of pressure on the other team, either through scoring right away or getting them out of system. So that was definitely a big highlight for us. But I think overall, again, it was an exhibition game. And, you know, I think people, you know, with 10 new people, like you're going to be nervous when you go out there and play. So I think after the first initial set, you know, emotions kind of went back to the normal, and we got to see what we actually looked like as a team. And I think that was the most exciting part about all of this weekend in general.
Yeah. I remember in the locker room after the game, one of the things I said was like remembering that this was our first time playing against a team that wasn't ourselves. And so it was a really good learning experience just to see what that looked like against a different team. And I think like, just in time, our relationships on the court will get better. Like they're obviously already really good, but I think just in terms of like knowing who you're next to and what they are doing, like is something that just comes with time. And so I think the more experience that we will have, like playing with each other against other teams, it'll just keep improving from here.
And I would agree. The serving seemed like it was really pretty strong overall.
Yeah, we had 19 aces.
Yeah. Right. I thought Mari had a run where it was like two or three right in a row. It was just a really strong part of the game. Any favorite moments stick out for you? Singular plays from the weekend?
Something that sticks out to me. I thought Kara did really good hitting the quick sets. Like she's a right side, so she also is getting like the high ball to the right side, but she really stepped up, I think, in her attacking of our faster tempo balls, which was something that I know she's been working really hard to do in practice, and just seeing it pay off in the big moments was really exciting for her.
Yeah, it seems like there is potential for a lot of those types of moments, those breakout moments, as you get used to each other with all the new players on the team. I would say there was this one shot where that Ada hit where it looked to me, I mean, it was going much faster than I'll describe it, but she was put in a really tough position on the left side, and it looked almost like she was a golfer trying to line up a putt. And what she did is she hit a little roll shot that just looks like rolled over the top of the net and then fell over on the other side. And that was definitely my biggest scream for the whole match, was right there. It was like this combination of funny, and it was at a key moment in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so smart, and how it, you know, she was playing it around the blockers, and it was just really exciting to see.
Yeah, I definitely think that was one of the like good moments of last night's game.
Yeah, and I think it was funny because you could kind of tell with the way it was rolling on the tape, like no one really knew if it was going to roll over or stay on our side. And so when it rolled over, like you could see on her face, she was like very surprised but excited. She was like, oh my gosh, like it went over, yay.
Yeah.
All right, well, so that's the past, and the next 2 weeks coming up ahead, we'll be on the road, heading out to Missouri for a tournament against the hosts of Missouri, also against Central Arkansas, and playing against Colgate for, I think, a two-day tournament out there, if I remember correctly. And then the following weekend is what you might call a tour of Illinois. You'll be heading up to Northwestern to play them one night, and then head down and over to U of I to play against Wichita State and Illinois on back-to-back days.
Yep.
What are you looking forward to with that?
So I think I'm just more excited for all the good competition we're going to get and the challenge we're going to have to overcome.
Yeah, and there's always a rivalry with Illinois State and Illinois. So that game is always very exciting, very high energy for us. And found out some news that Illinois lost their exhibition match to Eastern Illinois this year. So I think that we can really push, and they're definitely going to be a team that I feel like we can take down this year. So that'll be exciting.
Well, in addition to being athletes over the next 2 weeks, the first day of school is Monday, and I'm smiling because as a teacher, I just can't wait to get back to students. It's one of my favorite moments of the semester, but you're both excellent students. I mean, really needs to be said for not only your team, but really all throughout athletics in particular, quite honestly, and women's sports in particular. But you've got 2 weeks of school that'll come up between now and then. What's coming up? What are you looking forward to in the next 2 weeks there?
You know, first 2 weeks or first weeks in general are always, I think, challenging for students and teachers. I mean, we all have to get adjusted to new teachers and new teaching styles and what teachers expect. So I think for me, it'll be trying to figure out as fast as possible when to do my homework, when to study, what to study for. And I definitely want to stay on the ball. I don't like to have to make up stuff as I go. I like to get it done ahead of time. So I think that'll definitely be my focus, especially with the schedule we have. We have to be really good about time management and just making sure we're getting our academics figured out so we can be present on the court.
Yeah, I think this school year is going to look really different for me because I'm transitioning into a master's degree. So all my classes went from being in the morning and afternoon to at night. So it'll just be a challenge to figure out what my schedule is going to look like in terms of having more of my free time in the morning versus after practice. So that'll be tough, but I think once I get in a routine, I'll be good and it'll be smooth sailing again.
Do you anticipate having any conversations with your teammates, especially the younger ones, as they get into the school routine?
I don't think there's any like structured thing that we're planning on saying, but just emphasizing like, don't skip class, like go to class, do your work on the road, don't get behind, like stay on top of time management. And we have a lot of resources. So just reminding them about Kelly, who's our academic coordinator and or advisor. And then we have an academic advisor and they have their own major advisors if they're in a major. So they have a lot of different resources they can be going to as well. So just reminding them to stay on top of that. And if they need help, to ask for it.
You mentioned Kelly, your academic advisor. We've got some exciting stuff planned for future episodes. And I don't necessarily know if there would be a planned opportunity to give a shout out to Kelly for all she's done. Maybe you could share with the fans what she's meant to you and what she's done for the team.
She's definitely somebody I look up to. She has two babies. So she has Benny, and she just recently had her second baby. And I just love chatting to her about it. She sends me pictures of them playing or doing something cute. And I just really appreciate her as a person. And she was there whenever we needed her. And I think, you know, that's not necessarily in her job description. So I think I just really appreciate all the work she's done. And yeah, I love Kelly.
Yeah, she definitely goes above and beyond. And she's definitely a person of comfort. If we're dealing with anything, she's someone that we feel comfortable going to and talking about. So she definitely, or it definitely goes past the point of like academics with us, our relationship with her. It goes to like, just like the trusting and caring nature she has. We feel like we can open up. So she's always there for us when we need her, academics or otherwise. Kelly has always been one to tell me like, Cassie, I'm not worried about you at all, just with being on top of academics. But that hasn't like changed how our relationship is. Like, I can still go to her. Like there were a couple times I was like, Kelly, I might be needing a tutor for this class. And she was like, all right, I'll get it set up easy. But yeah, she's always just been really good about pushing people and keeping people on top of their stuff and helping them out when they need help. So
agreed.
Such an important member of the team overall. That's Kelly Banaka Anderson, who works in the Academic Support Center and just one of the many people on the team that's supporting women's athletics overall in many ways. I mentioned Ryan for strength training and folks who may never have their name announced over the loudspeaker. Maybe they prefer it that way, but the college experience as we know it and the culture that draws so many Redbirds to ISU could not nearly be what it is without those folks. So thank you to Kelly and to Ryan and to you, to Cassie and Nora. Love that you've stuck with us for 4 years, including through a pandemic, and made it this far. We'll look forward to seeing you 2 weeks from now when we'll pick up and see how things have been going on the volleyball court and also in school. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for flocking around with us.